And then I saw some other kids there. They must have been about 12 or 13. And I was about 16 then. And they were smoking. And I went there, took all their cigarettes off, and hit all of them and sent them home. I said, if I ever see you here again and smoking, I'm going to tell your parents.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to The Journey Onwards, where I look to dive into the stories from members of my family, both from my generation and the one before, to relive their incredible personal journeys, from their memories of growing up in East Africa to leaving the town they grew up in and finding a new home here in the UK, along with everything in between. Now for me, this is really a chance to connect with my family and heritage, and I honestly appreciate that you've decided to join me in exploring this and to understand what life was like as a non-ethnic African growing up there. Hey everybody, welcome back. So today is my uncle Prakash Kaka, who is the youngest brother of the siblings and someone that I actually have very great and fun memories of while growing up. I can't remember what year it was when we went to Cyprus. And that was a very entertaining holiday just to be with Rishi and Chandni anyway. But then even with you, there are some jokes which maybe we'll not publicize on this platform, but really, really good jokes that was not just me laughing because you are my uncle, but I genuinely found them very funny. Something that is common with the uncles, everyone is very funny, but I remember we got very close from that time. Even since then, I like how you will just reach out to me and ask how I'm doing and how things are going, and just a very entertaining and down-to-earth approach. So I'm very, very grateful that you've decided to do this episode with me. So thank you for being here, and thanks everyone for listening in. So now over to you, and let's start at the beginning, and how was your childhood and growing up in Africa?
Well, first of all, I think we must thank you, Anand, for organizing this and taking a lot of effort and time to sort this thing out. And we are really grateful. And for those people who don't understand English, Omnebo Anandaiwo. All right. Yeah. Life was really great. And especially for me, I was the youngest of the brothers. And I was the last one to born in Kenya, Kakamega. And then we moved to Jinja when I was only 5 months old. So I don't have any memories of Kakamega, growing up in Kakamega. But then I've been to Kakamega quite a lot afterwards, because we used to go to Kisumu to see Ansaben, and even Babi was from Kisumu. So we had a lot of connections with Kisumu. So on the way, we always stopped in Kakamega to see, or the Bapuji. In the beginning, Bapuji would be with us, or then afterwards, Vinubhai or whoever was with us driving. And they would tell, you know, where they lived, and they show me the house. And even there was a school hall, if I'm not mistaken, where Bapuji's photographs were still there, because he did a lot of social work there. Wow. In setting up that hall and the school and everything. So those are, you know, some memories I've got about Kakamega. So it was, I can't say it was a big change for us moving from Kakamega to Uganda, because I don't know anything about Kakamega.
Yeah.
But growing up in Jinja, I think probably one of the best towns you could find.
Yeah.
I know you had, you were quite fortunate to go there with your dad. It was a lot different at that time than it was in our time. And to us, or to me, I still think I'm a Ugandan, not an Indian. All right, Indian, but more Ugandan than, because that I spent 22 years there growing up, school, and then working in the shop and everything. And a lot of good memories. Sometimes I feel that I didn't see the hardship which my other brothers saw, because I was the youngest. Probably a bit spoiled, I don't know if I was, but I didn't see that much hardship, but I knew what was going on, and found life a bit easy for myself. But then things, you know, came out after Bapuji passed away, how the life had been for Bapuji, especially Bhai, because I can't remember anything about Bhai either. Sometimes I think that I can remember one incident, but I don't know whether it's something that I just want to think about or hold on in my memory, whether it was true or not. I think that, you know, in one of those, like your dad said, on Diwali, you know, the whole town used to be open in the evening. And we used to have those counters and, you know, sweets and everything. So people used to come in because of being a grocery. People knew they would get sweets, which they wouldn't get in anywhere else.
Mm.
And I remember I'm standing there with everybody else and Bhai is next to me and he lifts me up. So because somebody was taking a photograph or something, because I was quite tiny at that time. That's the only thing I think, probably that's my only memory about him.
Something to hold on to.
Yeah. And I've had very, very good relations with all the brothers and all the sisters as well.
Mm.
Like me and Ashwin were always together. So people would, whenever they saw us, they knew. If I was there, Ashwin is going to be around there. Mm. Or if Ashwin was there, I was going to be. And if I'm not mistaken, it was same with your dad and Vinubhai. They used to be known as Dinu Vinu.
Okay.
So they,
he never told me that.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. But, you know, sometimes I, especially now when I've heard your dad, I was thinking that was Jandibhai and Bhai as close as well? Because, you know, they were quite close in the age.
Yeah.
So like me and Ashwin were, and, you know, your dad and Vinubhai were. If they were, I think that would have been great.
Yeah.
Because whatever we've we achieved or what we went through, I think we've got to thank Lord to Bhai, you know, his outlook.
Mm.
And one thing probably your dad hasn't told you, or maybe he has, you know, when Mama was not well and he was here in London, because they were in America in the end, but then he came to London here because he wasn't well and he was in the hospital and they were living in a home in Kenton. And me and your dad went to see him one day when he wasn't well. And he said, do you know, I've got something for you. So we didn't know what. And then he called him in his, where he was sleeping. And from under the pillow, he took out two or three letters, which were written by Bhai to Mama.
Wow.
And I think he still got them. And the content of the letter, I couldn't believe it. You know, that somebody at that age, you know, such a outlook at that age, especially in those times when there wasn't anything.
How old was he? Would he have been when he wrote them?
I think he would have been about 23 or something. So it's quite young.
Yes.
For him to sort of think of business and, you know, starting some business, because he was in India for something. And he says, he had written to Mama. He says, look, there is things about bicycles and things which we can import from India and sell it in Uganda. And things like, you know, he was very business minded.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes you think, you know, at that age and in those times, because those were not easy times.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, settling in Uganda and all that. So I think we got a lot to thank him, the way we've been with all general things in our family as well. You know, in sports, I think he was quite keen on sports. So was Jandibhai, but Jandibhai wasn't, I think he didn't have a chance because he had to get involved in the shop because of after Bapuji passed away.
Yeah.
So Vinubhai, again, probably one of the greatest bowlers I had seen in Jinja at that time. And Anand, you won't believe, he would have been even better, but because of our financial situation, he didn't get much chance to, because any time he had to go and play, you know, outside Jinja, it was impossible because you had to pay for it yourself, sort of contribute to the trip. And he couldn't spare time because he was helping in the shop. It was him and Jandibhai running the business. I was too young. I was still in the school. Ashwin was too young. And so was probably your dad.
It's
Otherwise,
interesting.
He would have been one.
I was just going to say, it's interesting that what you say about Vinoda, and then when I spoke with Avni and what she said about how much he used to take Lina and Avni across the country to dance. And so it really relates that I think he saw, knowing the talent that he had, but he didn't have the opportunity, that he wanted to make sure that his daughters had that opportunity.
Yeah, he was supportive to them all the way. I remember that. I mean, we found it strange, you know, because they were quite young, Avni and Lina. But he was quite supportive to them. And he said, you know, I'll take you anywhere and I'll drive you. And probably because he didn't get chance to, you know, for himself to excel in things he liked.
Yeah.
Like cricket, it was his main thing. And Anand, once we had an English team come to play in Uganda, one of the county teams that came to play in Jinja. So there was a big match. And it was on a weekday. And Vinubhai was chosen to play for, because he used to play for a different team, but he was chosen to play for them. And he didn't open the bowling. There was another, the main team which organized the match, their fast bowler opened the bowling. And from the other side, Vinubhai got the chance to. And he, I'll never forget, he had a knack of picking a wicket in his second ball.
Okay.
Always in the second ball. And he got one of them caught in the slip in the second ball.
Yeah.
And that was an English player. And I think he was a test player as well.
Wow.
Because these county players, they always used to have one or two or three test players in with them. And I just can't still forget, you know, watching him bowl. It was amazing.
Did you all go to watch him?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Any matches in Jinja, never missed it. But then in the end, I used to even get chance to travel with him sometimes when he used to go and play in Kampala or other towns.
Mm.
Whenever he used to take his own car or our own car, then I got chance to go with him. And another thing you'll never heard, Ashwin would have probably been one of the best all-rounders in our team.
Oh, really?
But because me and him used to play in B team. And Vinubhai was in the A team. So he was so good. Ashwin was so good. And he was all-rounder as well. Not only a bowler. He was all-rounder. Good, you know, medium-pace bowler. A good batsman. An amazing fielder. But the A team didn't want him in A team. Because he was too good. And they didn't want him. There was a bit of politics as well. And, you know, the guys were older. And they didn't want a youngster to come in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, he was amazing. Ashwin was a really good player. And those are good memories. And then the schooling. When we went, our house was near one of the schools you mentioned, Naranbhai Primary School. But then we moved to this bigger house, which we bought. And there was a new school that started there. So me and Ashwin ended up in that school, which was a really good school as well. So our main school was that, primary school. And then the second school, when we went to second school, that was also near that house. So it was easy to go there. But then we moved to town because, you know, like your dad said, you know, things were getting a bit risky for Ba and Babi to be on their own, that big house, daytime.
Mm.
So then we had to sort of walk all the way to school every day. And it was about 45 minutes walk. But we never thought, you know, that was far.
Yeah.
It was, you know, just to walk, you know, all the friends walking every day and, you know.
Do you think the society we live in now has become a bit lazy because there's all these conveniences, you know, the bus, train, and then especially the bus is late and then everyone gets angry. But the time you say you lived in, you didn't need these things. It was good to be out.
Yeah, we had to. There was no choice, you know, we had to walk. People didn't have cars. Everybody didn't have a car. All right, we had a car at that time, but that was mainly used for shop and, you know, things like that. So there was no chance. Later on, you know, when Ashwin started driving and I started driving, then things were different, you know, because one of us could drop each other and things like that. But that wasn't because we were lazy or anything. It was a status, you know, oh, look, he's come by car.
Yeah.
You know, he's. But walking, going around, you know, nobody even thought, you know, if you had to be out walking for 4 or 5 hours. Because of the weather, it just didn't make any difference. You know, the weather was almost constant throughout the year, especially in Jinja.
Yeah.
If the midday, it would probably go to about 28, 29. But then most of the time it was, you know, 20, 25. So perfect weather.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. And even I remember going to nursery, because that time we were living in that big house. And I don't know if me and Ashwin were both dropped to nursery in the morning. And we were not dropped in a car or anything. The house boy who was working with us, he used to take us all, each, you know, one in each hand. And and even at that time, that nursery school was about 25 to 30 minutes walk. So we were walking, but then if I was younger, if I would, I was tired, he would carry me. But this nursery school, I still remember, they had a monkey there. And that was the most exciting thing, you know, to go to. And I don't know if your dad probably remembers or Ashwinada can remember, but if I'm not mistaken, the monkey was called Ramdas.
Okay.
Yeah. And funny, you know, that your dad was mentioning that Bhai became good friends with this Inder Singhil.
Oh, yeah.
A guy, a thorough gentleman. Because I remember him well, you know, because he was quite old when he passed away. So I remember till end. The nursery school was his, which he had given to the community.
Okay.
He had built and it was big. It was a big nursery school built by him and given to the community. And it was called in his name as well. So people did, to us, that was the home. So, you know, everybody, you know, a lot of rich people, they did a lot of good things as well, you know, hospitals and schools and that. Because we were not planning to move. I don't think anybody had any plans to move. All right, you know, like your dad came here to study, and even he said that he was thinking of coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other, mainly boys who had been here to study, a lot of them came back because they, you know, right, life was okay here. But life was much better there.
Yeah.
So they came back. And so we never had any idea or in 100 years that we would live. But after independence, things started getting a bit risky as well, because we were all British passport holders, protected passport holders. So it was getting a bit risky. And then we couldn't decide whether you had to apply for Uganda citizenship. And it wasn't that easy either. Because you had to, I can't remember exactly what you had to do. I think you had to show up a lot of money, and then you had to have a business with, you know, African, Ugandans and things like that. So eventually people slowly started moving before it got really bad. And if I remember well, my Bapuji was planning for me and him to go to India.
Okay.
And try and settle there. He wanted to go there and see if we could stay there and if there were any opportunities to do business there. Because I don't think he would have been happy to come here.
Yeah, yeah.
Let alone him. If I had been here for holiday, I might not have come here.
Yeah.
I don't think Chantipai or Ba would have allowed me to stay there by myself. But I would have tried hard to stay if I had been here and knew what the life was like here.
Mainly the weather, or, you know, just the general way of living?
Mainly the weather, I think. Weather, yeah. And just general, to start up from scratch.
Yeah.
I would have found it very difficult to accept that, you know, I know what it's like here. And even your dad, when he came there for holiday, and there was another very good friend of mine, and he was here for a little while. And he when he came for holiday, he said, look, like your dad, do not leave this country.
Yeah.
You won't find anywhere better than here.
That's amazing.
Nowhere you'll find it.
Yeah.
So, but those were good memories, especially your dad coming. He came for a couple of times for holidays.
Mm.
And we really had a good time with him. You know, because it wasn't a first time when he came, I was still a bit young. So he was a big brother. But second time when he came, you know, then we were friends.
Friends, yeah.
Because we used to go out. And another unique thing, which when I think about it, lots of friends and families. We had lots of families like ours. So there would be four or five brothers, two, three sisters, and it was quite common.
Mm.
And me and Ashwin would be friend with the youngest one, and the elder ones would be friend with your dad and Vinubhai, and the eldest one would be friend with Chandipa. It was like that.
Amazing.
So family became a family, big family friends.
Yeah.
And out of everybody, I was very fortunate because I was there till the end. All those friends of Chandipa, Vinubhai, even your dad, they were my friends. We used to go out and, you know, play snooker. And, you know, it was just like, you know, even going for, you know, we used to find somewhere, somebody's garage or somewhere. And then a gang would get together and I would cook or somebody would cook. And, you know, and some of them were Chandipa's friends and Vinubhai's friends. And they were with us. So that was a very unique thing. And even a lot of them, it's sad that a lot of them have passed away. But even whenever we met here, they still used to remember.
Yeah.
He says, they would say, oh, I can't forget, you know, that I used to enjoy with you, Vinubhai or Chandipa. And we had a good time with you as well. So that was a very unique thing. And, you know, there were big families there, you know, 7, 8 in a family was quite normal.
Mm.
But this carried on. And also on, you know, ladies' side, girls' side, there were some of their sisters were friends with Sobhufai, because Sobhufai was the only one there, you know, Santafai and Ansafai, they were not there. And yeah. Meena was in India.
Yeah.
But even Meena had friends whose brother was our friend, and their brother, elder brother was Vinubhai's friend. So that was really going on all in, because it was a small town.
Yeah.
So everybody knew everybody. And everybody sort of looked out for everybody as well. And, you know, it wasn't uncommon for an elder, you know, somebody elder from the town would come and tell you off or even slap you if you were doing something wrong. Because they had, you know, not the right to do that, but they were concerned about you. That's why they were doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
They were looking after you. I did same thing once, which I'm not very proud of. You saw that house when you went to the big house from outside, or you went inside as well, isn't it?
Just in the yard a bit, yeah.
Yeah. But on that main road, if you went just a bit further, there was a YMCA. I don't know if it was still there. That opened up when I was in the school. And sometimes we used to bunk off from the school and go and play table tennis there. And I used to smoke at that time. And then I saw some other kids there. They must have been about 12 or 13. And I was about 16 then. And they were smoking. And I went there, took all their cigarettes off and hit all of them and sent them home. I said, if I ever see you here again and smoking, I'm going to tell your parents.
And did they know that you...
You know, I was smoking and I wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, that they were too young.
Yeah.
Too young to do that. And funny, I met one of them after a long time here. And he said, I still remember you hitting me. But thank you for doing that because I've never smoked after that.
Oh, wow. There you go. Yeah. So it worked. You know,
yeah, it did work. Yeah. Not always, but sometimes it did work.
Yeah. And you were saying about the really strong community, and you mentioned how, was it the Indersingh Gill who became good friends with Chandipa?
Yeah.
Was there a really strong connection and community between all Indians? Because you said he was Sikh and we're obviously Gujarati. Yeah. Or was it, you know, Gujarati stuck together, Sikh stuck together?
No. It was very close with everybody. Okay. Anand, you know, when there was Eid, we would all celebrate.
Oh, wow.
When there was Diwali, everybody celebrated. And when there was Eid or something, some of our Muslim friends and their parents, they would send us mithai at home. But they made sure it came from a Gujarati, you know, shop.
Wow.
Because they knew how Ba and Bapuji were strict about religion.
Mm.
So they made sure that it didn't come from any ordinary shop. It had to be a, you know, good mithai shop that it came from. And when it was there, you know, Diwali, we would send home. Of course, we used to make so much things at home. But they wouldn't send the things that were made in their house because they used to eat meat and all that.
Yeah.
And then knew bah, and would be very upset. So they made sure that it came from the shore. That's how close we were. I had a lot of friends, you know, Muslim friends. Some of them were, you know, what you call mixed, you know, African and some background of Asian as well.
Okay.
And so many of our friends were, you know, all mixed. Sikhs, I had a lot of Sikh friends, yeah. So because of, they were all in the class as well. And some of them, we still kept in touch. And, you know, whenever there was a Jinja gathering, we met all of, a lot of them and had a lot of good memories. But we never realized that there was so much difference till we came here. And I think a lot of the differences was brought back from people coming from India and Pakistan here. Mm. They brought the differences because we didn't know what the difference was.
Right.
To us, you know, he's a neighbor, he's a friend.
Yeah.
He's a family, he's a friend. And, you know, you walk in and out of everybody, each other's houses, and it was just fine. Nobody cared. What probably bar and would get upset if he ate there in their house because being vegetarian. But we used still were non-veg there as well, but without bar and them knowing it.
And was that more out of, were Ba and Bapuji very enforcing on these principles, or were you guys keeping it away out of fear or more out of respect?
No, it was out of respect.
Yeah.
Because we used to sell, it was a grocery and we used to sell everything.
Yeah.
So if a customer wanted some half pound of ham, we had to slice it because it used to come in the whole thing. So, you know, I used to operate that machine as well. So they knew we handled everything.
Mm.
But it was mainly respect. And Ba and Bapuji being so religious and going to Mandir every day, they never forced religion on us.
Mm.
They said, you know, you respect people, you respect everybody's religion. And, you know, like I had a lot of Goan friends who are Christians. And, you know, you might have met some of them here. We meet him sometimes. Julius Monti. I don't know if you met. And they were just on living probably a few doors away from us. And they had a bakery there. So we used to buy our bread from them to sell in the shop. And again, you know, that bakery was run by two sisters. And again, same thing, you know, they were like family. So there was a lot of closeness.
Mm.
And you know, what your dad said, trust. If you went to ask for some money from somebody and you said, I'm Dino's son. Okay, fine. Mm. That's all you had to say. Because they had trust in your dad.
Yeah.
So they trusted you.
So the name means a lot.
Name meant a lot.
Yeah.
Name meant a lot. And a lot of respect for people. People had a lot of, hey, all right, you know, we used to like normal teenagers and then get into fights with the, get bullied and bully as well. But nothing too far. We didn't go too far.
Mm.
Just scare people off and, you know, just kept together. But still, in the end of the day, we all were friends and we used to move around together.
There was no fear of actually getting hurt or serious violence.
Yeah. No, never. I think it probably was mainly Jinja. We could go out anytime. We used to be out at night as well, 11, 12 sometimes, when we were allowed to.
Yeah.
And all right, Ba, and they would worry where we are. But we never feared that, you know, we would be in trouble or, you know, get attacked or anything.
Mm.
I can't remember any time anybody of us got attacked. Unless, you know, somebody did something stupid, you know, got drunk and started fight with somebody, then all right, fine. That's a different thing. That happens everywhere.
Yeah.
But otherwise, generally, nobody bothered anybody. And fortunately, we didn't have that many break-ins and robberies like Kenya had and Nairobi. Nairobi was notorious. It still is.
Yeah.
But Kenya, I mean, Jinja was very safe. Even Kampala wasn't too bad. But then Kampala being the capital city and crowded and all that, it was a bit scary at times, you know, especially at night. You had to be careful. But then again, whenever we used to go and play cricket in Kampala, we used to roam around, go for a drive-in movie or something before we came back to Jinja because we didn't have a driving theater in Jinja.
Yeah.
So we used to go to Kampala to do that. But a lot of fun we had as well.
I think what you say about the community helped with the safety as well, right? Because if someone tried break-ins or robberies and they got caught, because the community know each other so well,
yeah,
very, very risky and damaging for that person. Who knows who?
Oh yeah. And it was sad, you know. I've seen some of the Africans who were beaten up when they'd not stolen some, stolen something. And they really get beaten up badly.
Really? Wow.
I've seen some of it happening, and it's really nasty. And sometimes when you think of it, they didn't steal. They only stole because they were hungry. Mm. They didn't have food. And then you would wonder, why do somebody have to beat them up so much just because he has stolen some bananas or things like that?
That's nasty.
Yeah. Mostly other Africans. Which still happens, you know, in most of African countries. It is really sad that people steal because they are hungry. But Africans in Uganda, I think, were the most humble people I've ever met.
Oh, really?
The guys who were working for us in the shop and at home as well, most of them were from Kenya. Because Kenya was struggling at that time. So a lot of them came to Uganda. And because we had moved to Uganda, so a lot of Africans knew that things will get better in Uganda. So when they were struggling in Kenya, they would come to Uganda for work. That's how we picked up Swahili.
Mm.
Because Swahili is not a Ugandan language. No. Swahili is mainly Kenya and Tanzania. Uganda doesn't have Swahili as their language. If you went to Uganda now and if you spoke Swahili, they wouldn't understand.
Right.
A lot of these Ugandans now, they don't understand Swahili.
So they have a local dialect?
They've got local dialect, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Because around Jinja, there was a local dialect, and around Kampala, it was a completely different language as well.
Right.
Their own language, yeah. But mainly because most of the schools are in English, so, you know, most of them speak English.
Hmm.
I mean, when I remember you when your dad said that when he was in school, there were not that many, you know, Ugandans in the school.
Hmm.
But when I was there, we were only 4 or 5 Asians.
Oh, wow.
And the rest of were all Ugandans.
Hmm. So things are really changing.
Some of them were very clever as well. Very clever, extremely clever. But again, you know, I had a lot of friends, Ugandan friends. And I got on well with them. A lot of my other friends didn't have that many Ugandan friends. I had a lot of Ugandan friends. And even they used to come and see me after I gave up school and I was in the shop. And we used to meet and, you know, go for drink and things like that. So I think that is one of the reasons I really didn't want to leave Uganda.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't only, you know, Indians or Asian friends. I had a lot of Ugandan friends as well.
And was the friendship with them different to with your Indian friend?
Probably in a way it was different because, Indians could go into Indians' houses and, you know, neighbors' houses, whereas Africans was a bit restricted.
Mm.
I don't know, because of our culture.
Yeah.
It wasn't that open yet.
Yeah.
My generation and generation afterward, that was opening up. But before that, they were not that open. I think it was it wasn't that they didn't trust them or didn't like them. I think it was just the fear of what was, in Kenya, it was bad. So it was the fear that they carried on from Kenya. That, you know, you can't trust, African or something. But things were different in Uganda, which I can understand because for somebody like Ba, who was uneducated, and to her, it would be difficult to understand that, you know, that Africans can be friends as well.
Yeah, it's almost the fear of the unknown, just not being used to
it.
Yeah.
But then they were so loyal as well because when we left, I was left there. Me and Vinubhai were the last ones to leave. And I remember, like Avni said, you know, I remember once before that we had to take Ba, Mina was there, Bobby was there, Avni, Lina, Mami from Tororo, and one of our daughters. I think one of our daughters was there. I can't remember. I think it was Nisa. And others, they were already moved out here. And me and Mama had to take them to Entebbe. Got the tickets and everything for them to leave Uganda. And we had hired a minibus to take them. So it was me and Mama taking them with all these ladies in the car. And we stayed a night in Kampala. And next morning, the flight was from Entebbe. And that was probably the scariest time I think I've been through.
Really?
Because of the ladies with us.
Yeah.
You know, it was so scary. You know, every few miles you go, 10, 15 miles, there's a roadblock unchecked. And
what were they checking for?
What are you taking with you? So like, you know, slowly things started disappearing from our, they would just take whatever they wanted. You couldn't argue with them.
Crazy.
It was really sad, but I think we were very fortunate. Nobody got hurt or injured. All right, you know, we lost a lot of things by the time we reached Entebbe. And they got safely out. And then I had to leave on my own after, I think it was a few weeks. And I went to Kampala, stayed there at night with one of my friend's brother. And then I got a call from the travel agents that the flight had been canceled. So I rang my friends in Jinja. I said, look, I'm in Kampala. I'm not flying today because the flight got canceled. So you know what they did? My friends who were still back in Jinja, they said, okay, we'll pick you up in an hour.
Wow.
I said, no, I'm in Kampala. I'm not in Jinja. He says, we know. And they drove, picked me up, took me back to Jinja.
Amazing.
He says, okay, let's spend another evening together. I mean, people were sad, you know, so they just wanted to talk and, you know. And the next morning, they dropped me back to Entebbe. But when, Anand, when we were dropping, when we were going to Entebbe with the bar and everybody, at one of the checkpoints, one of the security guy, not an army guy, he was a policeman, he came to Mama. And he started looking at him, and I thought, oh, there's going to be some trouble. Then he said in Swahili, he says, you are not going, are you? And Mama recognized him as well. He was from Tororo. He was a police from Tororo, where Mama was from.
Wow.
And the guy started crying. He says, no, you are not going. You are not going. You stay here.
Wow.
So Mama said, no, I'm just going to drop this woman. So they were really, you know, the police, people were very sad that we were leaving. They knew what was going to happen because army was nasty at that time.
Yeah.
Really nasty. That means army. And we dropped them and then we came back. And it was completely, you know, weird feeling. Go home, nobody's there. Only me and Vinubhai. Whole houses. It's not empty because everything is there. They hadn't taken anything apart from their suitcases. So all the furniture and everything is there. And then that guy who used to work for us, John, your dad knows him well. I said, John, do you want anything from the house? You know, you can take anything you want from here, from the house or from the shop, because we are not going to take anything. He says, no, I don't want anything. I want you to stay here.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, that's so interesting to know that. I didn't really know that, but the general people, the general locals who interacted with you guys on a daily basis, weekly basis, they were actually very upset at what was happening. So it just
showed they were very upset. Yeah.
It showed how powerless some of the population were because of these people above who just wanted to take over.
Yeah. And, you know, when my friends picked me up and I was going to stay with them, my friends, because one of them had a very big house. And I was staying with his brother's house in Kampala. So he said, you stay here with me today. And I said, okay, fine. I said, give me your car. I'll just go to see Vinubhai. and see if he's all right, because he was alone. So I went there, and John was there, and he couldn't believe me to see me back, because there was not mobile phones or telephones that you could ring and say, "Oh, I'm coming." He was so happy, and before I could say anything, he says, "Go and see your Fluffy first." So I said, "Why? What's wrong with him? Is he okay?" He says, "No, he hasn't eaten anything since you're gone." And Anand, you won't believe me, I saw tears in his eyes. The dogs. I'm sure, you know, he must have felt that these guys have, like Upin said, he knew that these guys are not coming back.
Yeah. He could sense.
And he was absolutely crazy with me. You know, as soon as he sees me, he knows I'm going to take him for a walk or, you know, give him something to eat. And he was such a crazy dog. He would eat anything I'm eating. Sometimes if I'm eating, you know, apple or carrot, and if he comes and I give it to him, he would eat that as well.
Wow.
He was just a crazy dog, but such a lovely dog. And I think that also takes me back to the love of pets we had, all the Dattanis, all of them. We had cats and dogs, and even once we had monkey as well at home. And I don't know where it came from. It must be from Bayan Bapuji.
Yeah, did they like pets and animals?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's why we had... Mainly people used to have dogs for security.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just safe, you know, to have. But I think it was more of a... For us, it was a pet rather than a security animal. And cats and, you know... We had so many cats as well in the... There was once we had a cat that lost its eye, one of the eye in a fight. Very weird cat again. You know what Bai had to feed the cat? Gantia. Bai had to send John to one of the shops and buy half a pound of Gantia because it had Gantia.
And nothing else?
It had a normal thing, milk, right, okay. But it liked Gantia. Those soft Gantia, yeah. It's crazy. Some strange memories.
Yeah, that's amazing. And before we transition to moving, are there any funny stories or memories that you remember maybe with one of the sister siblings?
I was told that when I was very, very young and a baby, Sobhna Fai was carrying me and she managed to drop me. I was told by somebody else. I don't know who told me, or even she could have told me. And I always, you know, blame her. I said, "My back problem is because you dropped me when I was a baby."
Yeah.
But me and Sobhna Fai were very, very close. Out of the other sisters, I was very close to her. The reason being, the two elder sisters, they had left. And Mina was in India studying. So I was there all the time. And we were at home together. She used to even help in the shop quite a lot. She used to work in the shop quite a lot as well. And then after she got married and went to Mombasa, I always used to go to Mombasa to pick her up and bring her back to Jinja. And even I spent a lot of my holidays in Mombasa as well with her. So that's why we were very close. And we knew generally everything about Jinja. So really good memories. Even in Mombasa, I can remember when I used to go there, you know, even Drupal and Alpine, they were young, and if they wanted to go out, they said, "Oh, Babu Fua was very strict." He said, no, or "You can't go out." "Oh, we are going with Prakash Mama." "Okay, fine, that's fine." Ask Rupal, she remembers it very well. We used to go out together. I used to take Mehul and everybody together with me.
Oh, wow. It was just making me think that based on what you've said of how, because Hansa Fe and Chanta Fe, they left early. But now when I speak to Dad and he will say that, you know, he's always had a conversation with them recently, and he will tell them when he's tried to make tepala or something and struggles to make it as well as them. And so they will make some for him and used to bring it around.
Yeah.
So it's even through all of that and them being away from such a young age, but you still have that very close bond with them even now, all these years later.
Even my school holidays, I used to spend a lot of school holidays in with Santa Fe in a small village they were in Kenya, in Kimlili. So even like me, Pradeep, and Nila mainly, and Kiran, we sort of grew up quite together, similar age, not that much difference. And then I used to spend a lot of, that was Ashwin and me, both of us, a lot of time in Kisumu, where Ansafai was. So that's why we are, even with the Ravindra and Pankaj and Kruthika later, we had spent a lot of time as kids together as well. And then here, we are always in touch. All right, one thing I must say, it's not a unique thing, but understanding between brothers and sisters, that if we haven't talked for some time, or if we haven't phoned, and then you phone somebody, they will never say, "Oh, why haven't you phoned?" Whenever you phone and talk to them, they are happy. So that is understanding. I don't think it's anything unique. That's just understanding. Look, if he hasn't phoned, maybe he's busy. And if he's phoning, fine, he has got time to talk, then we'll talk.
It's not a
But
need to
never,
show. It's not a need to
no.
show that, oh, why haven't you phoned me every 2 weeks just to say that you've done it?
So, and that's with everybody, all the sisters, all the brothers. In fact, when I was in Sweden, I will come to that up. I used to come here quite regularly because sometimes I used to get this ridiculously cheap return tickets from there. So I would just jump on the plane, come here for 3 4 days and go back. And there was chance to see the family here. And I always used to make a point to go and see Vinobhai. And sometimes after 2 or 3 months, I would see him, and he said, "Oh, are you still here? Haven't you gone back?" Because he hasn't met the other brothers, but I met everybody else, because I used to come around and meet everybody. He says, "Haven't you gone back yet?" I've been very close to all the brothers in a different way. Very close to Jantibai, I was very close to. We could sit for hours and talk about politics. And with Vinubhai, we could sit for hours, talk about cricket and music. And with your dad, we've been, together for a long time. And then with Ashwin, it was like Prakash Ashwin all the time. And we got a lot of good memories about cricket and music and everything, So I've been very close to all of them, and also sisters as well. Pity, Mina was young, and then she was in India, so we didn't get much chance to bond like I was with the
To grow up
Sobhna.
together.
But sometimes I feel that nature has dealt her a really bad card of hands, what she's gone through. Being the youngest in the family, it is very tough. She's a very tough girl, but she hasn't had so much joy.
But imagine the strength of having you guys as all her elders has been like the saving grace.
I hope it has. I mean, again, we try and keep in touch as much as we can, but like now at the present time, it's very difficult. But let's hope that it gets over soon, and then we can be a bit more closer than we were.
Thank you so much for listening in to what was a very emotional ending to part one, where my uncle opened up about the youngest sibling of the family, who had, by any standards, a very difficult 2020. And it just highlights the closeness and meaning of this family to each other. A side note to my Minafe, that even though we can't as a family be together in person because of the current restrictions, that there's a bright road ahead, and soon we will be able to have that bond again. In part two, we dive into what life was like after leaving Uganda and some more great stories about the siblings. You will not want to miss it.